turning percussion into one-shot impacts. Advanced Edition. This is one of those drum and bass skills that makes your track feel instantly more pro without changing your main drums or bass at all. Because impacts are basically punctuation, they tell the listener, new section, end of phrase, drop incoming, something important just happened. And the best part is you don't need fancy cinematic packs. You can start with a rimshot, a bongo, a shaker hit, a tiny hat, even a Foley click, and turn that into a massive mix-ready impact that works at 174 BPM. Before we touch a single effect, quick mindset. Impacts are not big because they're loud. They're big because they're shaped, transient, pitch motion, harmonic density, and a tail that's designed, not accidental. All right, let's build an impact forge chain in Ableton Live using stock devices first, and we'll resample at the end so it becomes a clean one-shot you can reuse. Step 1. Choose and prep the source. Pick a percussion sample with a clear transient. Rimshot and clave are almost cheating because they're so sharp. Drop it on an auto track or a drum rack pad if that's your workflow. Now go to clip view. Turn warp off. For one-shots, especially impacts, warp can smear transients and introduce artifacts you didn't ask for. Set your clip gain so the raw sample peaks around -18 to -12 dBFS. Yes, that low. This is one of those advanced habits that makes distortion and reverb behave predictably and stops your resample from coming out randomly crushed. Also, keep fading at zero for now. We want the transient intact. We'll add a tiny micro fade later only if we get clicks. Now start building the chain. First device, EQ8. We're clearing junk and making room. Put on a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 80 to 160 Hz depending on the source. If it's a hat or shaker, you might go higher. If it's a tomish hit, go lower, but be honest with yourself. Your kick and sub are the kings down there. Most impacts should suggest wait, not steal it. If the hit is spitty or aggressive, hunt for harshness in the 2 to 6K range and dip it with a narrow bell. And optionally, if you want a bit of thump, you can add a small boost around 150 to 300 Hz, but keep it subtle. In drum and bass, that range can fight snare body fast. Second device, transient shaping. Ableton doesn't ship a dedicated transient shaper, but we can absolutely do this cleanly. Fast option. Drum bus. Add a little drive, say 2 to 8%, and push transients up, maybe plus 10 to plus 40 depending on how sharp you want the hit. Keep boom off for now. We'll design low end intentionally later, not by accident. If you want more surgical control, multiband dynamics can do a pseudo transient shaper move. Focus on the high band. Set the crossover around 3.5 kHz and use gentle upward expansion with a short attack, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, and a release around 30 to 80 milliseconds. The goal is not brighter. The goal is more front edge. Now the part that turns a percussion hit into an impact. Pitch shaping. Reedal impacts often have that quick pitch drop. Even if you can't consciously hear it, you feel it as slam. You've got two main workflows. If you like the sampler approach, throw the sound into simpler in one-shot mode. Use the pitch envelope. Set the envelope amount somewhere like -12 to -36 semitones, and keep the decay in the 30 to 120 millisecond range. Attack at zero. This is that classic TNB impact motion, a fast drop at the start that makes the transient feel heavier. If you prefer audio workflow, you can resample first and then use a clip transpose envelope. A good trick is to duplicate the hit a few times close together, process it, freeze and flatten, and then on the rendered audio clip, draw a pitch envelope that starts maybe plus 12 to plus 24 semitones right at the transient and falls back to zero within 40 to 120 milliseconds. You're basically creating a downward punch feeling. Here's an advanced variation for a modern Eurovide. Do a two-stage pitch move. Stage 1 is the fast, simpler pitch envelope, like minus 24 semitones over 40 milliseconds. Then after resampling, do a second, slower pitch drift on the audio clip, just a couple semitones down over 200 to 500 milliseconds. Subtle, it makes the tail feel like it's falling away from you. Next, saturation and aggression. This is where the impact gets size and density without just turning up volume. Add saturator. Analog clip or soft sign are both solid. Drive somewhere around 3 to 10 dB, soft clip on, and then compensate your output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. If you want extra bite, you can add overdrive after saturator. Set the frequency somewhere between 1.2 and 3 kHz. Drive maybe 10 to 35% and adjust dynamics to keep it controlled. Then, and this is important, plan to EQ after distortion. Distortion creates fizz. Fizz is fine. Uncontrolled fizz is amateur hour. Now we design the tail, because an impact is not just a punch, it's also the space after. Use hybrid reverb. Hall or plate are safe starting points. Decay around 0.6 to 1.8 seconds depending on the roll. Pre-delay is the secret weapon. 10 to 35 milliseconds. That tiny gap keeps the transient clean and lets the tail feel big without stepping on the hit. Then filter the reverb. Low cut around 200 to 400 Hz, high cut around 6 to 10 kHz, and keep wet around 10 to 35% if it's directly on the track. Or do the advanced way. Put reverb on a separate return or duplicate track and run it 100% wet. Now make it impacty. Gate the reverb tail. Put gate after hybrid reverb. Set threshold. So the tail closes after roughly 200 to 600 milliseconds for most DNB punctuation hits. Release around 80 to 250 milliseconds. You're aiming for that controlled whoosh-whack shape, not a wash that drifts into the next bar. Advanced coaching move. Instead of only gating, try ducking the reverb. Put a compressor on the wet reverb track. Sidechain it from the dry hit. Fast attack. Medium release. This makes the transient super clean, while the tail blooms immediately after. It's that expensive, modern depth. At this point, pause and decide the role of your impact. This matters. Is it replacing a crash, supporting a snare, announcing a section change, or selling a fake drop? That decision dictates tail length, stereo width, and how much mid-range you can afford. Also keep length discipline in mind at 174 BPM. Micro impacts can be 80 to 200 milliseconds. Phrase caps often sit around 300 to 700 milliseconds. Transition tails can be 0.9 to 1.8 seconds, but they must be filtered and gated or ducked so they don't smear the groove. Optional. Sub reinforcement. If you want a dedicated sub impact, don't try to EQ low end out of the reverb and hope it becomes sub. Make it intentionally. Create a MIDI track with operator. Sine wave. Choose 40 to 60 Hz. Ideally in key with the track, shape the amp envelope. Zero attack, decay around 80 to 180 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Then layer it quietly under your impact for big moments only. If it fights your kick, lightly sidechain it. Now the advanced producer move, resampling. This is where you stop being the person with a giant effect chain and become the person with clean assets. Create a new audio track called Resample Impact. Set audio from to your source track, or choose resampling if you want to capture the full master path. Arm it, record the hit, then consolidate into one clip. Trim like a pro. Start exactly at a zero crossing at the transient if you can. If you get a click, add a micro fade in, like 0.5 to 2 milliseconds. Don't leave dead air at the end. End it where the tail feels intentional, and don't normalize by default. A good target is letting it peak around minus 6 dB, and controlling later on an FX bus with gentle limiting, if you need it. Now do your phase and mono checks. Put utility on the rendered sample track. Toggle mono. If the impact collapses and disappears, your stereo tail is probably too wide or too low. Fix it with mid/side, a very DNB-friendly trick. After reverb, use EQ 8mm/S mode. High pass the side channel around 200 to 400 Hz, sometimes even 300 to 600 Hz if the tail is huge. Keep the weight in the mid. Keep the width in the safe frequencies. Then print again. That's how you get wide impacts that still punch in mono systems. Now let's create three variations fast, because this is how you build an actual usable impact folder, not just one cool sound. Variation 1. The punch impact. Shorten the tail. Push drum bus transients harder, like plus 20 to plus 40. Use less reverb and more saturation. This is your drop accent, your bar end cap, your listen up hit. Variation 2. The tail impact. Increase reverb decay. Maybe 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Use a slower gate release, like 200 to 450 milliseconds. Darken the tail with a lower high cut, like 6 to 8 kHz. This is for transitions and space, not for punching holes in the mix. Variation 3. Metallic or noisy impact. Add corpus. 2 or B modes are great. Tune it somewhere useful. Sometimes 80 to 200 Hz for weighty resonance, sometimes 300 to 800 for character, depending on what it's doing in your track. Keep the blend low, like 5 to 20%. Then add a touch of redux if you want grime, very lightly. And then EQ harsh peaks after, always. Extra sound design teacher tricks if you want to go further. You can add a noise print layer for an air explosion. Use operator noise. Shape it with a quick envelope, maybe 80 to 250 milliseconds decay. Bandpass it around 3 to 9 kHz. distort lightly, and send only that into reverb, that gives you aggression and air without making the core transient painfully bright. Or do a ghosted flam trick, duplicate the dry hit, offset it by 8 to 20 milliseconds, pitch it down 2 to 7 semitones, low pass it, and blend quietly. Perceived size goes up, peak level barely changes. And if you want jungle tension, do the classic reverse pre-hit, duplicate your rendered impact, reverse it, fade it in right up to the transient point. Keep it short so it reads as suction, not a full riser. Now arrangement placement, because impacts are only valuable if you place them like a producer. At 174 BPM, think in 16 bar phrases. Put an impact at bar 8 and bar 16 to cap phrases. Put one a beat before the drop, sometimes combined with a reverse tail. Drop an impact on beat 4 and after a fill to slingshot into the next bar. Or tuck a metallic version quietly under a snare on bar 4 or bar 8 of a phrase for call and response energy. Advanced arrangement move, stereo choreography. Make the bar 8 impact narrower and shorter. Make the bar 16 impact wider with a slightly longer tail. That contrast makes the big moment feel big without turning anything up. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Too much low end, and your impact fights the kick and sub, so the drop feels smaller. Reverb with no predelé smears the transient and your hit turns to mush. Overwidening makes it vanish in mono. Uncontrolled distortion fizz becomes brittle, so EQ after distortion. And the big workflow mistake, not resampling. If you don't print, you'll keep tweaking chains forever, and mixing becomes a nightmare. Let's lock it in with a mini challenge. Pick one rimshot or clave. Set the raw level so it peaks around minus 18 to minus 12. Build the chain. EQ 8. Drum boss. Saturator. Hybrid reverb. Gate. Utility. Print one impact. Then create three more by changing only pitch envelope timing, reverb decay, and distortion drive. Finally, drop them into a 16-bar DNB loop. Impacts on bars 8 and 16. A reverse pre-drop on bar 15 beat 4, and one metallic hit tucked under a snare on bar 12. Export them with sensible names so future you actually uses them. That's it. Percussion in, impacts out. And once you get this down, you'll start hearing impacts everywhere, because literally any transient can be forged into a signature slam. This audio version is shortened for playback.